Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men TV. It is build-up time. Liverpool taking on Bury. But it's Berry.
Is it Berry?
It's Berry. I mean, you would never think that, but that.
Why do they not spell it B-E-R-R-Y?
Well, listen, if you want to call them Bury, or because you were Bury, you bury your dead, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. And your face, and your face, Lancashire. As you can tell, Tom Dutton joins me on this one. Yeah, another pre-season game, another game of very little import in the grand scheme of things, Tom. But it is. Also, once again, another game that clashes with an England international, a major World Cup game, except that it's not really this time. And I suspect the balance between people choosing to watch a Liverpool pre-season game over England might well be tipping even more dramatically in Liverpool's favour.
I suspect I'll get a lot less stick for wanting to watch the Liverpool game this time. I mean, it's one of them. I'm kind of sack it off and let Hendo go on holiday, to be honest. But look, I mean, it's going to be an important game regardless. England need to go out there and kind of just show them, look, we're still going to play well.
For the spirit of positivity, I've seen people kicking off. And look, I've said this on a few places. I'm not looking to dig out England. And moreover, not even that, because Gareth Southgate has at least made me. Not like love, but not have deep apathy towards England anymore. I don't mind him. I don't mind that side. That was fine. I've enjoyed the World Cup, but I know people who genuinely love it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to. And they're good people. I think people who are passionate. But there's people who are passionate about England and people who've either had their love rekindled or found that love, who aren't, you know, EDL flag where you know, waving knobheads. And for those type of people, James Alcott from Boss would be the prime example of it, loves it, and I want him to have happiness. So yeah, it'd be nice for Hendo and for Trent to be able to come back having won, you know, to beat Belgium, because that will at least tell people, give people a message of, well, look, it shows that this team can do something and fair play. But
there's something special about a cup run as well, Paul, as we found out last season. You can sit there and it's knockout games, they're all important. And look, everyone knows my views on England v Liverpool. I support Liverpool first and foremost. But give fair play to everyone who's gone out there and supported England. Yeah. They love it. And I
would always rather see Liverpool win a league title over England winning the World Cup. But here's the thing, they're not mutually exclusive.
Exactly.
I'd have been perfectly happy for England to win the World Cup and then Liverpool go and win the league next season. That would have been a splendid 12
that's
months.
Fine by me.
So yeah, obviously that's to come. But once again, you know, I will be away. I'll be travelling with the Reds and we'll be going to see how Liverpool get on in this game. And we know we've got a couple more players back. Van Dijk and Wijnaldum joined back up like last Sunday. The Tranmere game was too early for them. It's interesting because we were having this debate and we're going to go through our preferred 11s, as it were, in a little bit. But I think it's mad how those two additions were starting to have we can actually put two legitimate 11s out now without, and you know, that'll be the end of Kiriveira as a centre back, you'd imagine.
And they were massive part of last season. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see them getting back in. And it's one of them. I'm looking forward to see Van Dijk coming in and just shoring that up. But I'm also looking forward to see Gini's work rate. And I'm interested to see whether he's employed as the number six or whether he's going to pseudo-compete with Keita in that box-to-box role. And that might give us a massive indication of what Klopp's thinking next season.
It's interesting because we've got the midfield options. And it makes you wonder as well with regards to, you know, I don't know whether that might mean we might see less of Curtis Jones. I don't know whether it means we might see less of Woodburn in in midfield, which would be a shame. Or does it mean we start to see less of the forwards and we tend to go more with the three-man midfield that you know that we're more likely to go into the season? Because now we can, and we do the teams, like I say, you could put out, that was the weakness. We were one centre-half short and we were one guy who can play the six or one centre-mid short of having real balance between our two half teams and arguably two goalkeepers of quality, but that's another story and we'll talk about that in a bit. Good to see them back very much. It's interesting, the little undercurrent story on the Berry stuff is Ryan Lowe's their manager, who was a Liverpool Academy player in his youth. He also played for Tranmere as well, and a scouser. Jermaine Beckford, formerly of Everton, is on their books as well.
We can't lose to these.
No, I just like to see a little, you know, another a blue nose there get us come up into which would be nice to see.
I mean, we definitely won't lose. I know there was a scare at the end of Tranmere and everyone was like, oh, we're going to lose the game. We were never going to lose that game regardless.
Like
we're going to go out there and even if we did lose, no one likes losing a game of football, but this is the part of the season where you can. I know everyone will laugh at us, but
I was talking, there was two lads, and I apologise, I didn't get your names, one of them tweeted me actually, but we were chatting to these two young lads after the game. They come and say, well, what do you think about X, Y and Z? And it was something me and Chris have talked about on these shows previously, and just trying to reiterate to people again, these are fitness exercises. Yeah. But you know, I would, and so treat them in that regard. If I watched a Liverpool training match, I've been lucky enough to watch open training a few times, and I've been, you know, seen bits and bobs like that. I only ever just look for people's control. I look for little moments of skill. I look for little flashes. It's just that this is being formatted in the format in which we normally consume Liverpool. Yeah. So you're right. It's hard to because you can get carried away when you see things go really well. Therefore, it stands to reason that if you can have an emotion at this end of the scale, you can have an emotion at the other end of the scale. But really, you shouldn't.
And it's a mixed match of players. Most of these players have never played in the same team, let alone alongside each other, let alone, you know what I mean? It's this communication, and that's why we were so good last season, because we didn't even need to talk. We knew where the player would be. We knew what it would be. You don't have that now, and it's not going to come until the last few games of pre-season anyway.
What I think we're starting to see is, because I felt like the Tranmere game and probably the Chester game by the same notion, it was a bit of a throwback Liverpool. It felt like Liverpool from 2 years ago, mainly because we had Origi and Sturridge up front. But we're not seeing the Liverpool. We're just not going to see our front three, you know, until, you know, we're not going to see Henderson until right before the start of the season. I feel as though what we're doing here is we're honing our second team down. We're getting minutes in the belt and understanding between various key people. So in particular, that is Naby Keita, obviously, Fabinho, obviously, and Joe Gomez as a centre-half, I think. And then the rest of that, maybe we might see him, so we might see Daniel Sturridge deployed deeper if we keep hold of him. That's a possibility. But realistically, you know, we're going to see probably eight or so of these players. I've just plucked that figure out of nowhere, by the way.
It's a good number.
Completely, they will not be going on the US tour, I would imagine, or they're not going to be involved by the time we get to Dublin and by the time we're playing Torino. The fact that we're experimenting with a different formation, this is a great opportunity for us to find. It's almost like this summer is us practicing our plan B, because the plan A doesn't need working on particularly.
And
unless you get Nabil Fekir in, and even then, he's playing in the World Cup final. He's not going to get a pre-season under his belt.
No.
And, you know, we're not going to get to, you know, we don't need to hone that too much. But what we do need to do is have another way of playing when there's no Salah, when there's no Firmino, and when there's no Mane.
It's especially getting Solanke up to speed. Because, I mean, Solanke and Origi playing together, I mean, say what you want about Sturridge, them two are probably definitely going to be in and around the squad. And they need to be able to play off one another if, like, look, if Firmino goes and you need that front two.
Remember
and stuff,
when the back end of the season before last, you know, when we lost Mane and we had Coutinho, and then he'd had some problems. We played West Ham away with Sturridge and Origi up front, and it was Lallana and Coutinho behind them then. And it does make you start to think about, you don't want to, you need to find a way for the, if you can't, if we sign Shaqiri in the next, you know, few days or whatever, we'll see him on the US tour, and maybe that means we'll keep to more of what we're doing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we'll have a plan B, as in, I wonder whether we'll gamble this season, hold a few extra players, and just in case we get to a position with five games left to go in the season and we're having a mad injury crisis and all of a sudden we're back to playing a 4-4-2 diamond and we've got, as you say, Origi and Solanke, or Origi and Sturridge, or Solanke and Sturridge kind of thing.
Why not? I didn't mind that formation. I know it's not as good as our 4-3-3 with the best front three in Europe, because nothing's ever going to be as good as that. But if it can get you a win every now and then, you don't want it to be the thing you go to. You don't want it to be lump the ball to Fellaini and play off him. You want it to be one of these where you start the game with it and everyone knows exactly what they're doing from the off, and then you can start playing.
Well, like, do you want a situation where you stick with the same formation and your front three ends up being Solanke, Wilson and Woodburn?
Exactly.
Or heaven forbid, heaven forbid, because he's probably better than either of them really. You know, Lallana back in the front three, etc. Maybe this might be. Look, I might be completely wide of the mark, but it wouldn't shock me if we had a 4-2-3-1 variant that we had in reserve for this. And you know, we're going to get into a season where we're playing. We want to rotate. I think we'll rotate like we did last season, but we want to rotate in more quality and have less drop off in terms of goal scoring output, because we will be keen to get back to the Champions League final again. You know, a ludicrously difficult ask, of course, but we'll want to do that because you've done it and you've not won it. You want to go and try and win it this time.
Right.
And there can be, I say, no excuses, but because I don't like that way of talking, to be fair. But Liverpool should be far more competitive at the top end of the Premier League. So for me, you know, we need to be able to put a strong side out. And if you can't play 4-3-3 every week, you need to find a formation that fits the rest of your team.
Exactly, and we're competing on four fronts next season. They're all massive games. Every single game is going to be huge in terms of, look, it's been, what is it, three seasons since Klopp came in. We haven't won anything. That needs to be a priority in my eyes, and I know he probably thinks that too.
And not that it hasn't been a priority per se,
course.
But I think it's interesting is, the Champions League came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Last season, we just were able to enjoy the ride. Whereas, like it or not, we will still enjoy the ride, but there will be added pressure, because if you can make it to the final, why can't you? We shouldn't be stressing about getting out the group this time.
Not even Champions League. FA Cup.
Yeah.
Win it. Just get it done. League Cup. Win it. Get the double. And that won't stop the appetite to win the league or get to the Champions League final, but it'll just help us along the road. And I think there's so many players in the squad that just haven't won anything yet, and it doesn't. They've got to two finals. Yeah. Like, everyone's laughing at Dejan Lovren because he got to a Europa League final, a Champions League final. Now he's at a World Cup final. And he's lost two of them. He got there.
Yeah.
That's not an easy thing to do. Fair enough. Laugh all you want about him not winning it. Fair play. He just wasn't good enough. But he got there, and that's something.
It's a horseshit attitude,
exactly,
though, Tom. You can see it, you know, and it goes back to the England stuff. People who know. Like, there's people who have been brainwashed into thinking that, you know, the pot at the end of it is the be all and end all. And don't get me wrong, look, that's as good as it gets. That is the absolute perfect thing. But there's four competitions, they could all be hypothetically hoovered up by Man City, and if we lost all of them to Man City, you'd be gutted, but you could look at it and go, look how good they were. We were always playing catch up with them. The point is that, as you say, get yourself to finals, get yourself in contention for titles, and if you can year in, year out, because that's what Liverpool haven't done, by the way. Liverpool have gone like this. They've gone peak and they've fallen off, and they've dragged themselves back up again and peaked and dropped off. Liverpool have got to maintain that level. You've got to stay within touching distance, be the best you can be, and it makes the process of winning stuff far easier, because you're not burning yourself out to overachieve. You're playing at your level. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Right, we're going to talk about preferred 11s. I think there's a really interesting debate to be had around this. Before I do, though, I sat down for a podcast on the website with Christian Walsh of the Liverpool Echo, a very good friend of ours. Brilliant fella, knows his footy inside and out and upside and down. Here's a little clip.
You know, Liverpool again have found themselves this situation where they are ready to take that final step. And God, how many times have we talking about with Liverpool, the final piece of the jigsaw, Paul Ince, Harry Kewell, all of these sort of players. But it's not Just bring back bad memories.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Gibril Cissé.
But ultimately, the promising thing for Liverpool is that it's not about one player, because I think the squad's in there, it's in place. It's just about addressing those weaknesses in the squad. I mean, the first team is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
They've strengthened it even further. I'd say the defence doesn't even need touching, which is incredible when you think about the tribulations Lovren's been under.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely. Well, he's taken Liverpool to a European Cup final. And in his own words, by the way. But, love him. Love you, Dejan.
So, you know, even if you look at the midfield, you've got, let's say, Henderson, Fabinho and Keita wouldn't be a bad three. Oxlade-Chamberlain comes back. The one glaring issue at the moment, of course, is the goalkeeping situation.
Yeah.
But apart from that, the 10 outfield players, I think, are very strong and could challenge for the league. What is important is that there are those around them for when the injuries do inevitably come, or when dips in form do happen, that they can come in. And that's where it's not a case of something like Fekir is just like would be an absolute game changer, because it's not just a player, a body for being a body's sake. This is a player who is being labelled a potential world-class footballer, yeah. Somebody who's seen as capable of filling, you know, Philip Coutinho's boots, and he might even get on the pitch just like that. So
yeah.
That's what all good teams do. That's how you win titles. That's how you challenge for trophies.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome. Like, what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like, what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Yeah, great to talk to Christian. As I say, he knows his stuff. He's not totally enamoured with Shaqiri. We had a good chat about how Fekir, it does kind of look at the moment like it's Fekir or nothing as regards to Liverpool's attacking mid options. Fantastic podcast. Do go and check it out. Start a 3-month trial if you want to listen to the full thing. Highly, highly recommended. And even better, if you want more of the transfer stuff, we did the rumour rater effectively. So we went through every link that Liverpool have had this summer to players in all the positions they've been linked to, and basically took through how likely we felt any of them were and the latest on them, all that. So if you want to get up to date with where everything is and how likely things are to be moving in the next couple of weeks with Liverpool, again, go to redmentv.com, sign up. Just genuinely amazing content on there at the moment. I can't recommend it enough, so do get stuck in. Right, Tom, the inevitable pointless task. What are you doing?
Karius, straight in the firing line again, Paul. I'm not asked. Everyone,
Yes, genuinely.
Everyone's saying, no, you should never play for, not everyone, but people are saying you should never play for us again. Look, get him in behind Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah.
Get Virgil van Dijk to scream at him.
Yeah.
Absolutely leather him if he makes a mistake. He'll listen to Virgil van Dijk before he listens to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you know what? Let every single one of the opposition players boot the ball at him until he catches it.
Yes.
Genuinely. And look, if he doesn't, then that's it. But these are the games where he can make those mistakes regardless. Fair enough. Get him out the team if you want.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. Get him his confidence back.
Yeah.
That's only going to happen by playing more footy.
Listen, there's an episode of Knight Rider, right? It's called Junkyard Dog. And in it, Kit, the indestructible talking car, gets dropped in a pit of acid and he gets basically destroyed. And when he gets rebuilt, he's lost his edge. He's scared of going at top speed. He doesn't want to smash through walls because he's been hurt.
Yeah.
But you've just got to go. You've got to get back on the horse, to mix me metaphors.
Yeah.
And you've got to keep going and keep going. Is it in Klopp will do that?
Exactly.
Because at the minute, there is no... Alisson is not, you know, who is the top target. As, you know, Dave Maddock was talking this week on Twitter, Liverpool have not, you know, pushed that any further than that because by my understanding, they've not been given positive feedback that he's that interested in joining Liverpool regardless. So the top options in world football either want to join Real Madrid or want to stay at Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
So you're left with other options. And right now, given who they've got, and bearing in mind that we've still got Simon Mignolet to sell as well, at the minute we've got three more or less senior goalkeepers.
Yeah.
We're not going to buy a fourth and keep and have and hold four senior goalkeepers at the football club. It's not going to happen.
Nope.
So, regardless of whether Klopp's publicly defending him or not, he's going to keep throwing him out there. And if it clicks, and he's magically restored, and he's not even just magically restored, he's on the path to being better and improving as a goalkeeper, then Klopp will go, fucking amazing. There you go, sorted.
And when Virgil van Dijk came in, he brought Karius in with him last season, and we saw both of them just work perfectly together. Ball came over the top, van Dijk was telling him, you're there, and then it got to the point where they both expected it of each other. That partnership was one of the main partnerships in that side, in my opinion. So get him in there, get him with the confidence of having that centre-back, rebuild it up with the man who they built that partnership together. Look, he might fuck up again, and if he does, fair enough, but he's still going to play the next game after
that. But ultimately, let's get back to the top point of the show. It's fucking Berry.
Exactly.
It's a training exercise. Yeah. You're not going to, like anything, what are you going to tell Lawrence Carragher not to turn up to training because he's not good enough? Adam Bogdan has been training with Liverpool, by the way. You know, I know he's got, I don't even know if we have completed the loan out to Scotland, but the point is that this is what this is. This is just Klopp's way of getting them into the rhythm of playing football matches, and also, you know, getting a clearer idea of mentality in a different pressure situation. Karius is going to figure in at least the next two games, Berry and Blackburn, and then I think we'll see a clearer thing. Whether you like it or not,
exactly.
Whether you agree with it or not. That being said, no, Danny Ward. I want to see as much of Danny Ward as possible because for me, look, I've said it before. I like Karius, and if Karius was just able to perform at the level that he performed between January and the second up until the fact that he threw the ball onto Karim Benzema's toe, I'd be fine with him as our goalkeeper. But
he needs a chance, Danny Ward.
I think Danny Ward, I need to know. I need to know if Danny Ward's good enough, and unfortunately I don't get to see them in training. The only chance I get to see him when they're given options to play in a team, they're going to play. They're both going to play. One's going to play the first half, one's going to play the second half. I want to see as much of Danny Ward as possible because I think there's a goalkeeper in there. And I think it might have been the podcast that mentioned it on, I don't know. But let's use Nick Pope as an example here. He would have been nowhere near Burnley's first team and he's ended up on the play into the World Cup because Tom Heaton got injured, he got his chance and he took his chance. No one would have gone in pre-season, regardless of performances, and gone, put Nick Pope in ahead of Tom Heaton. There's even a reasonable chance, which is weird to say, that Heaton could walk back into that team at the start of a new season. This is just how it is sometimes. But if it doesn't, that's just because Pope was given a chance and he's taken that chance. I want to see more Ward.
And Danny Ward took his chance. He did the best he could have done in the game the other day against Tranmere. Pulled out a really, really good save. Fair enough, maybe it was a good height for him. We've talked about that. Doesn't matter. You've still got to make that save, point blank save. I just want to see him go out there and have a good half. And it's down to him to force his way in. He's had the opportunity now. Karius is a bit mentally unstable at the moment. It's Danny Ward's opportunity to go in there and just go, no, this is my position, given that chance. Yeah.
It's interesting looking at the teams because I think Fabinho anchoring. Okay, I want to see. I'm interested to see Keita unleashed a bit further forward.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, far too early to really tell, but we've now got a pretty much full complement of midfield options. We don't, you know, okay, Grujic isn't back from holiday, but whatevs, man. And you know, we're not going to get Henderson back anytime soon, but we've got enough to rotate the midfield around. I want to see Keita playing as the attacking midfield. I want to see him playing as the offensive eight. If we don't, I think we, you know, I'd surmised months and months ago, and I wasn't sure if I was right on it, but that my feeling was that he would be our box-to-box mid. It would be him, as you said, him and Wijnaldum in contention for the same sort of position. But I want to see what Keita can do. I want to see him further up the pitch.
I think, yeah, I mean, I've got a feeling he's going to stick box-to-box, but I've gone for a really, really strong side here. Mm-hmm. Very, very strong. I just want to see us go out there first half and just blow them out the water. We've seen these teams tie a second half, put the worst team out second half, but put a really good side out, and I've gone for like pretty much full strength back line as well.
Yeah,
just because I want to give Karius that extra little bit of stability.
Yeah,
just literally give him more stuff in front of him.
My argument would almost be the flip of that.
What's it called?
Yeah, my argument would be the flip of that, though. I mean, I put Camacho in because I've been so impressed with him, so I want to see as much as possible of him, but I want to see Ward with the best defence now.
Yeah,
let's stop giving Ward the shit at the end of the stick.
Fair play, yeah.
But this is I've got no idea at all what we're likely to do, because as we're at a point now, you can feel too. I want to see more Curtis Jones. I feel like, you know, unfortunately, I don't feel like he'll make it too far in this, because he's just a bit too young. He's still a bit too raw. You know, he was in Gerrard under-18s until he got promoted at the back end of last season. And when that under-23 side was all over the place with people going loaned out and what have you, he probably needs a season in the under-23s.
Yeah.
So he's not really in first-team contention this year round. But the trouble we've still got is that we've got, in terms of wingers, if we want to play our standard formation, you can only play one of Sturridge, Origi or Solanke.
Yeah.
You're then looking at Kent, Ojo, maybe you push Woodburn up, you've got it there. I'm not so sure
that. Yeah.
So it's an interesting one. I do wonder whether we might once again see another thing that gives us the option of Sturridge playing in the 10. And look, Sturridge mentioned that post Tranmere in his Instagram about how in a new role. Me and Chris Walsh were talking about this, about, you know, surmising, are we, if we're not signing for Kia, are we going to train Daniel Sturridge up to play a little bit deeper?
I really don't want that to happen, just purely because and you know, I like Daniel Sturridge, but you've got to have a bit of gnarl to play that, and I don't think he has that in abundance. He has some of it, but if you look at Adam Lallana, he's so angry on the pitch. You look at Keita, he'll be so angry on the pitch, and you need someone who's going to, like, do you remember Coutinho when we beat Arsenal, where we blew them off the park? It was like 4-0 half time or whatever, something stupid. Coutinho playing in that attacking mid role was just a monster. He was pushing people off the ball, being strong. I don't see Sturridge having that.
We get sucked into the Daniel Sturridge stuff very easily. And again, the Christian Walsh podcast, we do a fair bit on this as well. So if you want more Sturridge chat, by all means. My only thing, and it's only occurred to me while I've been talking, is that if I was him, I'd be looking at Fernando Torres and how he reinvented himself at Atletico. You know, his pace went, his physicality, he lost a lot of that physicality, but he became more of a target man. He realised that if you're going to do it, throw your shoulders in, get stuck in. I know they're different, but no one would have said they were miles different. In fact, any people would have said, let's be honest, Sturridge was probably more cultured than a Fernando Torres at times. Again, these lads, probably the vast majority of these lads, we won't see much more of, but who knows? And this is the beauty.
I'm looking forward to it. I just like seeing Liverpool play, regardless of what fixture, whatever. I just want to see us go out there, and this is making me more and more excited for the season. Mm-hmm. Even though we can see the two goals the other day, I don't care. Yeah. It's Liverpool playing, Liverpool scoring goals, the players showing, because they're not even trying to impress us, they're trying to impress Klopp.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. Is like, we're just there for the ride, and they're going to Klopp, this is what I can do.
Yeah.
And more.
And there's those things where, you know, there's players who will naturally see maybe aren't quite there, but, you know, the likes of Camacho and the likes of Jones, what I like is seeing those lads who may not get a single appearance in the first team. They may not even appear on the bench next season.
Yeah.
But if we have an injury crisis, and Nat Phillips as well at the back, I think he's been impressed when I've seen him. I like being able to say, oh, go on, we'll give this lad a go. I like knowing that there's another underlying layer of players
exactly.
who I'd be buzzing to see playing the team. So yeah, all good stuff. Let us know your thoughts. What would you prefer to see as Liverpool's 11? Are there any things that you wanna see a bit more of that you've seen in hint or whatever in the first two games of preseason? Let me know in the comments below that. But like I say, Tom, thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Plenty of content to come. Starting 11, of course, will be out. And I will be at Berry at the weekend. Never said that before. So yeah, look forward to that one. Thank you very much. Don't forget to subscribe to the RedmenTV.com again for the Chris Walsh podcast and a hell of a lot more as well. Other than that, see ya. Ta-ra.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stephens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.